Hello, this is Greg Esser. I'm the blowhard. That means I'm podcasting this year about the 2015 DC Breeze. We're doing a podcast. Today I'm joined by player, ultimate aficionado, Glenn Poole.
Thank you, Greg.
He'll be joining me, I think, a couple times on this podcast. I might also rotate that chair between some other players, see if I can't get maybe some coaching staff in the studio here. Doing a wide variety of things. But one thing we are looking for up front is a name for this abomination that we'll call a podcast. I don't know if it should be a wind pun. I already dropped my blowhard, or I haven't dropped my blowhard yet, but I think that's maybe a good one, the blowhards.
We're certainly full of hot air.
Certainly full of hot air. Anyhow, the wind puns will keep coming. Bad jokes will keep coming, but hopefully some good insight into what's going on in the AUDL, particularly the Eastern Division, and particularly your DC Breeze. We are going into the season. We're already into the season at this point. We've got two games under our belts. A first one, which was a sloppy loss to Toronto, and then a second game that the Breeze revived their early season hopes and got a win, and they beat the newcomers to the league, the Ottawa Outlaws. I want to talk a little bit about those games in this podcast. I want to talk a little bit about the composition of the roster for the DC Breeze, and I want to talk a little bit about kind of a season outlook, what the playoff picture looks like in this early season, and what are the prospects as we go into it. Glenn, any comments on that agenda? Anything you want to jump out and say in advance here?
It sounds excellent to me. I think the place to start is the roster. We got some new players this year, and also a lot of old faces.
A lot of old faces, but I mean, it really is about those rookies. I think there are maybe 11 returners and 17 rookies, or at least new players, not maybe to professional ultimate, but new players to the Breeze. I think two of those guys actually came over from the MLU.
That's true. Chip Cobb and David Bolin Colchin both came over from the Current, which won the championship last year, and so it's nice to have some players with their understanding of how to play defense and play against some of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, so maybe it's not about those two guys that I want to talk about, although I think that's an important note that they're bringing over this winning culture. The Breeze certainly had it last year, too, kind of understanding if that is, a faux sports mantra is, do you know how to win? And maybe I don't really buy that entirely. But I think returners to the Breeze understand that je ne sais pas. I think those two guys coming in from the Current get that. But there are 15 new guys on the roster that don't have that embedded culture, and a lot of them are really young guys. A lot of college guys lining up and down this roster for Alex this year, for Dutchie, the coach.
That's true. I think it's nice to have some of that youth. They bring some fresh perspective and a lot of energy, certainly, both at the games and also in practices, which is incredible. I think one thing that needs to be said right away is that we are having regular practices. As I understand it, the Breeze last year were not able to make that happen. And so already the buy-in from players, the investment in the season is outstanding. I'm really happy to see what's been going on at these practices.
So that's another interesting dimension to the roster. You mentioned kind of not having regular practices last year. A big reason for that was because the Breeze were drawing talent from all over the East Coast. I mean, they had guys coming in from Pittsburgh. They had two or three faces driving up mostly for games from North Carolina. And certainly they're, you know, if I can give you a little perspective on the 2014 Breeze, they're staying in contact with each other. They're motivating each other with their workouts, but they're not on the same field once a week. They're not, and you know, there were even away games where those North Carolina guys didn't make it because it was a 6-hour drive to DC, and then it was another 10-hour drive to Toronto, which is just a lot on, you know, a guy's schedule as he's also ramping up for the club season or carrying out, you know, a day job or a life.
I think that makes it really impressive to note what they did last year, that they were able to bring those players from outside cities and put them all into the Crucible and have a lot of success. But I really appreciate the decision by Dutchie and by the ownership to double down on having a DC-centric team, also with, of course, the Baltimore contingent, and to really try creating, with these regular practices and these DC-area players, a true District of Columbia team.
Yeah, I think that's well said. So one thing I want to talk about, so because of that refocusing a little bit on D.C. or D.C. Baltimore area talent, you do have some players that have played club together before, but I think there is a lot of new chemistry that's developing. I think some of the big club teams D.C. is drawing on, the Breeze are drawing from this year. There's five guys that played Truck Stop together last year and also five guys that played MedMen. More so than I think previous years, it feels like at least, there's really some mixed teams that are in the mix for providing the talent and the roster of the Breeze. A couple AG guys, a couple American Hyperbole guys, a couple Ant Madness guys. But I think more so than certainly 2 years ago where it was a very MedMen-focused roster, and maybe even last year, you know, we're bringing together a disparate group of guys to play on this team. And I think, I mean, we'll talk about it in a second, but I think that's showed up a little bit in this early season chemistry on the field.
Certainly. I think you're referring to some miscommunications we had against Toronto, and that's certainly something that we're looking to fix as the season continues.
I mean, let me say it right here, right now. The Toronto game was ugly. It didn't look like a team that knew the roster. It didn't look like a team that knew where the cuts were coming from. I mean, we're talking about a 37-17 blowout.
That's true. It was a blowout, but I think if you look at the game tape, which we've been doing a lot, outside of practice and talking about inside of practice, we actually were starting to get a handle on the offense that Dutchie's giving to us. There were a lot of pieces coming together. You may not be able to see that on the tape, or you know, if you're just watching it as a fan or a spectator, it's obvious that we had a lot of miscommunication errors and, you know, some things were lacking, I think, in that performance, but there are pieces behind the scenes that are coming together, and I think you'll see that as the season goes on.
Okay, so I'll give you a chance for your redemption, which, as I mentioned it already, that second week, got the first win. You know, any of the jitters of going 0-2 to open the season, absolved. You beat the fresh-faced Ottawa Outlaws. You know, they had some guys that are still returning to the league, despite the Outlaws being a new team in the league. They're bringing guys like Derek Alexander. He's got a French name, so I'll butcher it, but better me than you, which is Carl Louise.
Lusso, I think.
Lusso. So guys that are coming over from GOAT and from the Rush and playing with Ottawa. So not maybe as green as we would credit them. The Breeze took care of business. They won by four. You know, pretty convincingly at this point in the season. You know, what was it that worked in that game that didn't exist in Toronto? Is it really just a chemistry issue that's being worked out?
I think one thing that we were able to do is bring a more focused defense consistently against Ottawa.
I mean, you don't get to play defense against Toronto when they're scoring two-thirds of the time.
That's certainly true. but I think even after the turn, our O-line was able to play stronger defense and show a little more grit than we did against Toronto. I think that we might have had the upper hand in the sense that was their first game, Ottawa's, and so they might have been dealing with some jitters. They haven't yet adjusted to the pro game.
So that's an interesting point, right? And I said I don't think Ottawa's quite as green as we like to make the story about them. They've got probably a couple veteran leaders that have played 2 years in the AUDL at this point, setting a tone for the team. But, you know, let me dissect that statement, right? You know, they're new to the AUDL. We had the upper hand because we understood the pro game. What does that even mean? Because I don't know that I'm buying that. It's the same game. Certainly scale changes a little bit. But is this not still ultimate frisbee? You catch, you stop, you pivot, you throw?
It's ultimate, certainly, but a few things make it a little bit different, and I would say different enough that it takes some getting used to. I think the 7-second stall count, even if you want to say that people in the club game count quickly, and so it ends up being 7 seconds, I think having a referee call that stall, and they don't start telling you what time it is until you're already 5 seconds in, so you lose that direct feedback as a thrower, and then you could feel rushed when it's all of a sudden stall 5 or 6. I think the quicker turnaround between points is a big factor. It's hard to get your legs under you and get in a rhythm.
So that's a good point, I think. I don't think people talk about that a heck of a lot. So the time between points, go into that a little bit more.
You don't have a lot of time to talk about what happened on the field. You have to sort of...
The adjustments, the in-game adjustments.
Yeah, you can get together as a line. Say you got broken as an O-line, you come off and you talk about what happened, but you have 30 seconds maybe before you have to put your attention back on the field and support the guys that are out there. And once you score, if your D-line's going right back out there, then they have to get on the line, they have to match up, and they have a very short amount of time to do it. So if you, even if you, you know, look at game tape ahead of time and you have matchups, it's difficult once you're actually on the line to figure out who's across from you, what is our defense, what are we doing after the turnover if we get it. It's pretty quick.
Yeah. So having talked about kind of what happened here in D.C. the last two weekends, I think it's worth our time to also talk a little bit about some of the other scores around the league. And I think, again, if we're just going by kind of reputation, preseason rankings, that sort of thing, stuff that's on AltiWorld, stuff that the AUDL is putting out, the Phoenix expected to be a notch underneath the Breeze. And that was not the case based on the two scores Toronto weekend, but again looked like it might be the case based on how they scored against Ottawa. They ended up losing to Ottawa in a windy affair that saw a lot of turnovers in that game. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, I think there are two teams in the East that the Breeze will play more times than the rest, being the New York Empire and the Phoenix. So the season for the Breeze, as it has in past years, goes a little bit the way of, can you beat the Phoenix or not?
Yeah, I think that that's certainly one way to look at it. I think it's hard to really pinpoint exactly what's going on in the score differential between Phoenix and the Breeze when you're looking at how they fared against Toronto and Ottawa, respectively. I think the Phoenix is a very young team. They're probably going to bring a lot of energy, and they could be streaky.
And so are the Breeze this year. I mean, the Breeze have, I think, seven guys that are 24 or younger.
That's true. But in terms of having an established coaching staff, I think that continuity for the Breeze is really helpful. I think the coaching staff over in Philly is excellent, but it's they're
definitely
new
flux.
This year.
It's three years, three different coaches for the Phoenix.
Exactly, and so I think they're going to pull together. You know, they play Toronto really well, and that speaks to the talent on their roster. Whereas against Ottawa, you know, it could just be that Ottawa had that first game behind them, and they were able to figure out, hey, what do we got to do to bring a more consistent offense, to be on point with our D, and, you know, that makes a difference.
Yeah. So the matchups to come, right, we've had the Rush game, we've had the Outlaws game. In 2 weeks' time, or a week and a half's time by the time you listen to this podcast, the Montreal Royale will be in town. That's May 3rd. The following weekend, it's May 5th. The Phoenix.
May 9th.
May 9th. It'll be the Phoenix, but that game actually will take place in Philly. So we'll get our real benchmark about how the local rivalry will be.
Or Conshohocken, isn't it?
Conshohocken?
Conshohocken.
Yep, I know my Schuylkill River and my Catasauquas. I'm a Pennsylvania boy.
Yeah, we're looking forward to both these games. I mean, it's going to be interesting having a couple guys, I think, maybe miss the game against Montreal for Beach Nationals down in Virginia Beach. We're not really sure how the roster is going to look that weekend yet, but I'm feeling pretty confident. I mean, as the season continues, I think we have a lot of guys really excited to be playing for this team, and we want to make some noise.
Yeah, so if I can, I want to talk a little bit more about some of those young roster additions, jumping around a little bit here on the Breeze. And one guy that really impressed me in the Toronto game, and then he got some more, another assist and another goal in the Ottawa game, a 24-year-old by the name of David Berg. And this is one of, I think, two or three players that have not yet played semi-pro or professional ultimate at this point. And they're coming out of George Mason University, one of these many schools in D.C. area that maybe don't make a blip for USAU college nationals. But every one of them, you take one or two captains, you take one or two guys off the top, and you end up with a really strong player or two. David Berg is one of these guys. Captained at GMU, played swell, practice player for Truck Stop. But when I was talking to him after the game, what I found out is this is a guy that comes out of the Pittsburgh program. He's a Pittsburgh YCC guy that was taught the basics by Kazmarek?
Yeah, Nick Kazmarek. Fuel has a great program in Pittsburgh. I think that's one of the greatest cities for youth development in the country.
Yeah, so I mean, I think. It'll be interesting to see as the season moves on and how these young guys contribute to the Breeze, because I think D.C. is an area with a lot of talented players that so often are so fractured between college teams. Truck Stop unites them pretty well. But even then, there's a couple guys that scored out to Baltimore. that are willing to drive in when you know the stakes are a little higher and when they're playing the pro game. David Berg, the guy I wanted to highlight based on that big game against Toronto, one of the few bright spots for me watching it. And then he was another solid contributor. This guy's a handler. He's willing to put off the big fly. He turns around with a flick in the power position that goes full field. Should be an interesting guy to watch this year.
Yeah, he's taken that center handler position. And, you know, even though he's young and hasn't played in the semi-pro game, he's really stepping up. And even, you know, after turnovers with the O-line, he is playing excellent, getting it back for us. And I think that's an important characteristic in a young player.
So we've hit, I think, all the major points that I wanted to talk about today, but we want to make this as fan-friendly as possible. So we want to talk about what you guys want to hear. You can tweet at me, the Greg Esser. You can tweet at the DC Breeze. I don't know, Glenn Poole, what's your, you got a Twitter handle you want to hear from the fans?
Sure, at GA Poole. That's Poole with an E on the end.
A secret E. Anyhow, so we need a couple things from you. We need what you guys want to hear in the future from these Breeze podcasts that are going to come out every other week. We need a great wind pun sort of name. Could be mildly offensive. We'll see what flies with ownership.
It has to have that je ne sais quoi.
As opposed to pas, of course.
Yeah.
French, not so great. Anyhow, I want to thank our sponsors today. Papa John's Pizza, Wayborn Sunglasses, Oak Creek Apparel Shirts, Atlas Brew Works, and of course, Big Board. Do you know Big Board, Glenn?
It's a bar. You'd know that if you came after the game.
I did not go to the bar after the game.
Well, we hope to see you after the game next time we play against Montreal.
True. Montreal, May 3rd. Hope to see you out there. Thanks for listening. Talk to you again next week.